So I guess I'm here to do the Western Canada update, and I'm going to save the best for last, so we'll do Alberta at the very end. I know we got some BC people, some Saskatchewan people. Anyone from Manitoba here? Okay, ish, fair enough. Well, I'm going to start over there. So we've been very busy sort of across the entire West this past year. Been to Winnipeg 7 times, which sort of speaks to what's going on in that market. And since no one's from Winnipeg, that's probably 8 times too many for me. But that market is in demand of storage right now. We're seeing a lot of facilities that are 90-95% full. Rents haven't started moving, which is very interesting, because we usually see once you get above that 90, everyone starts kind of raising their rates and getting together. And I think we did a tour of the prairies and got a bunch of the owners together. So that'll be interesting to see what starts happening there. But the Winnipeg market is one that I haven't seen this happen anywhere else. And in Winnipeg, people will drive an hour to save $5 a month on their storage. And so it's a very price sensitive market. You see everyone sort of across the entire city with the same prices. New storage, old storage, storage that I felt I needed a bulletproof vest to go inspect. All the same price. And it's really interesting. There's been some pretty big acquisitions. The modular storage portfolio, there's 2 bought there. And there's a few smaller off-market ones that are in the process of going through right now. So the Winnipeg market overall, rates, you're sort of looking, if you're lucky, to get $1 per square foot per month, which makes it difficult to sort of think about building or doing things like that when your light industrial land is worth more. And so we'll see if those rates start moving up. I haven't seen any evidence yet. We'll see when I'm back there next month if there is. But Winnipeg is essentially the Manitoba market. Everything else is really small, tertiary, sort of on their own. Brandon has, I think, 1.5 facilities. I did a survey of the entire province, and in the entire province, there's 61 facilities. To put that in perspective, on Vancouver Island, which is not nearly as big as Manitoba, we have 91 facilities just on the island. So overall, the Winnipeg market, if anyone's looking to build something, maybe go take a look there. I know the people in the Winnipeg market don't like that, but sorry. And then the next province we've actually been doing a lot of work in is Saskatchewan. In Saskatchewan, we've had an interesting thing where your major metropolitan markets, such as Regina and Saskatoon, we've seen rents on the increase. We've seen occupancies remain high in your 80s. And that's in a province where the economy hasn't been great, as it's fairly resource-based. Your smaller markets, such as Moose Jaw, I had a great chat with one of the facility owners in Moose Jaw, who was very happy about how he was able to raise rates, and occupancies are very high. We're seeing that sort of in your secondary markets in Saskatchewan as well. Occupancies, you're talking 75-80% in most of those. As you stretch out to your smaller communities, it's kind of hit and miss, very seasonal with your RV storage. I was there 2 months ago and most of the places I drove by were empty. I was there yesterday and it's funny, all the RVs are back because apparently summer's over. So we're seeing a very seasonal market in your smaller areas in Saskatchewan, and then your major metropolitan areas seem to be holding steady. One major issue in Saskatchewan has been assessments. The same owner I was talking to talked about appealing his assessment and winning. In Saskatchewan, it looks like they sort of took the Regina and Saskatoon market and applied it everywhere. So you may have a 20,000 square foot facility in a tertiary market, but they assume your occupancy is the same and your rates are the same as you'd get in downtown Regina. And they did all your assessment based on that. And I'll get to some property tax talk later in my spiel here. But it's just something to be very aware of and to figure out how they're doing that, because that allows you to figure out how to appeal it. Then I'm going to jump across Alberta, because I'm saving the best for last. I know most of you are from Alberta. So, in BC, the best way to describe the storage market in BC is essentially on fire. We've seen rates, double digits increases in rates in a 6 month period. Occupancies in your major metropolitan areas are some places you can't get a unit. Yeah, I tried to survey one of the large competitors on Terminal, Public Storage, And I was told that I could come back next week and they might have something available for me. And that's not a small facility, and that's not the only place that's happening. We're seeing rates. I did a survey for someone looking to build something, and 60 days apart, I saw 11% rate increase. And that's in 2 months. And it's great if you have a facility. Land values in major, like in Metro Vancouver, have gone through the roof. I had a client who put a bid in for about an acre of land for $10 million, and he got outbid by $7 million for it. And at those numbers, right on terminal. You can't make storage pencil at those numbers.
Terminal Ave.
So that's been a very interesting market. We have a few people who are looking to build. I'm personally working on 4 different projects in Vancouver proper. We'll see how many actually materialize. But it's happening because your rental rates for your smaller units are higher than retail rates on Robson Street. So you're seeing people really seeing that this is a place they want to be, but they don't realize how expensive it is to be there. As you move out into the Fraser Valley, occupancies are still high. Rates drop off fairly quickly as you go out. Your Port Coquitlam, Port Moody, Maple Ridge, occupancies are still in the high 80s to 90s. You know, rates are still well above $2 a square foot a month. And then you move out deeper into the valley and it drops off pretty quick. Abbotsford is in a situation where they're in a massive oversupply of storage right now. We had people decide to build, about 180,000 square feet of storage in a market that you didn't need any. So we've seen occupancies down in the 60s. Rates have kind of started to stagnate there. And then you go further out in the valley to Chilliwack, and there's 2 new facilities being built. One was just purchased as well, and the market is back on fire there. So it's really a market-dependent thing in Vancouver, Metro Vancouver. When you move to the island, the same thing's happening. Victoria hasn't seen any storage built since 2008. Saanich has had one facility that's leasing very well. But our population growth is outstripping storage, but there's nowhere to build new storage. So we're running into these situations where your rates are escalating. I have a storage locker at the new place in Saanich that people in the room here own, and they just raised my rates 18%. Which is great, because their prices also just went up 18%. Trickle-down economics, something like that. And then moving to the interior, the Kamloops market is being dominated by one player. They're sort of buying things and monopolizing the market, and we've seen occupancies, they've always been high, rates are moving up, to the point where we're having a few new people looking at building in that market. And it will support more storage. I know, again, people don't want me to say that, but it will. Kelowna, we have a few people from Kelowna here. U-Haul's doing a huge development there. Depending on who you ask, it's between 100 and 150,000 feet, which is, for a market, I think, a population of 60,000 people, it doesn't really make sense. But again, people will spend the money they have to get into a market, and that's what's going on. So overall, I'd say the BC storage market for the Western Canada is the hottest, best, most sales, highest prices, lowest cap rates, occupancies high, and would get higher if you could build more space. We're seeing facilities raise their NOI by double digits every year right now, which is, it's great as long as the economy stays strong. The population growth in BC is astronomical. We're expecting another 2 million people to move into Metro Vancouver in the next 10 years. And if you just do the straight math across and you say 3 square feet per capita, 2 million people, you need another 6 million square feet of storage. There's nowhere to build it. So that's a real challenge. And that's something we're dealing with right now. And I know a lot of the larger players are looking, going, it doesn't pencil. Smaller guys who were in multifamily are coming in and going, the returns are a lot better. So they're trying to make it work. But it'll be interesting to see what happens in that BC storage market, especially in Vancouver, Richmond, Surrey, where there is, you can build, it's difficult. So now, Alberta. And I know there's been a lot of doom and gloom over the last few years. hasn't been fantastic. And I'd love to stand up here and say everything is rosy, it's great, occupancies are way up, prices are way up. It's honestly not the case. From what I've talked to a bunch of operators, and everyone feels sort of the worst is over, the bleeding has stopped, but the return is being very slow, and it's very market dependent. The Calgary market has had a lot of new space either added or being added as we speak, and I know there's occupancy challenges in a lot of the facilities, area dependent, which means your rates aren't moving. Some facilities are down in the 60% occupancy area, and these aren't small facilities, these are larger facilities. So it makes it difficult to see all this new supply coming in. And I think there's going to be a real kind of headache in the Calgary market for your next 3 to 4 years, just trying to work through all the new supply. Of course, if oil goes back up to $150 a barrel and things start booming, don't quote me on that, but I don't see that happening. Edmonton, being more of a government and blue collar town, has seen a lot, so I wouldn't say better increases in occupancy and rates, but it has increased and you're starting to see signs of life. You're seeing new facilities leasing faster. You're seeing new proposals moving forward. This kind of anecdotal thing. I was out here last year. I drove through Nisku, which is where all the pipeline manufacturing, oil rigs, drill, everything is there. And I didn't see one semi on the road. I didn't see parking lots full. No one was working. I was out there yesterday and almost got ran off the road by a couple semis with pipe on the back. Welding's going on. All the parking lots are full again. So the economy is starting to pick up again in that sector. Whereas Calgary is a lot of the guys who sit at a desk and tell you what you should have done. So they're the first to go. The guys who actually go and do it, kind of they hang around longer and come back quicker. And that's what we're seeing, is that the Edmonton market's showing more signs of life with your occupancies aren't dropping off anymore. I wouldn't say they're increasing. We've seen a few facilities that have picked up, but there's some that are still just dogs. Rates steady to slight increases, depending, very area dependent in Edmonton. With all the new sort of development in the south, there's been a lot of multifamily, single family homes going on there, and we're seeing that's where a lot of the new leasing is happening. I know Sentinel's Windermere facility is doing all right. I mean, and you'd think from something that opened at probably the worst time to open, it's great to see it's actually moving forward. It's a great facility. If you're there, take a look at it. They did a great job on it. Then you go to Fort Mac, and they're finally starting to get the rebuild going in Fort McMurray. Houses are being built. People are going back to work. There's a new oil sands plant opening up. And then there's a new tight oil play. I was told by a few people just south of McMurray that seems to really be getting that economy at least moving again. People are moving back to Fort McMurray, where they had left and hadn't come back at this time sort of last year. So, I mean, there's two players in Fort McMurray, and I think they both know how they're doing. It's not fantastic, but I think everyone's seen worse things as well. So that's good. Red Deer, it's a challenge around here right now. There's some facilities sitting 40 and 50% occupancies. There's others that are doing much better, but it's still a challenge. And I think working through what's here, it's going to be 5 years before people who own things in Red Deer are smiling about it. Probably not crying about it anymore at night, but they're not great investments just yet. Lethbridge, I've done a pile of work in Lethbridge in the last year and a half, and it seems like that market's steady. Lethbridge grows at 1 to 1.5% a year, every year, for the last decade. It just keeps going. In the worst of the economy, they were down a bit. In the best of the economy, they're up a bit. Occupancies are, the market as a whole, are up a little bit. Rents are up, partially due to a purchase of three facilities, an amalgamation, and new management, which is pushing rents up in the market. But there's still one new facility that's leasing that's, I think it hit 50-some-odd% in the last month, which is great, because when I was there a year ago, it was at 20. So everything in Alberta, again, it's not doom and gloom, but it's not sunshine and rainbows. I was here 2 years ago, and everyone hated the world. I was here last year, and everyone was like, oh, I think it's getting better. And from everyone I've talked to, I think the worst is over, assuming nothing crazy happens. Again, if oil goes down to $20 a barrel, I'm sorry, I can't. It's not going to be great. Goes up to $100 a barrel, life's going to be fantastic. It stays where it is, it's going to be a slow recovery for everyone here. You'll see a couple of percent here and there. You may be able to raise rates on certain unit sizes that are in demand, but raising things across the facility probably isn't a reality for the next 2 or 3 years. You know, focus on what your people are demanding, and that's where you can increase your revenue. You know, if you have no 10 by 10s available, clearly you're not charging enough for your 10 by 10s. Focus on making the more revenue in those units. You know, don't raise prices on things that you can't lease anyway. So that's sort of a general overview of Western Canada. I don't venture out east much, so I sort of decline to speak on the Ontario market and anything east of that. And that's sort of my CSSA hat that I had on. Now I'm going to take that off for a minute. I'm going to put on my valuation hat, because I got a lot of independent operators and people looking to buy in this room. And we've been running into a lot of issues in the last 6 months with people purchasing things for numbers that make absolutely no sense. If you're buying a facility right now and you're expecting your cap rate to go down in the next 2 years to justify your purchase price, don't buy that facility. Unless you have a large, large operation you can roll something into, find efficiencies in management, find efficiencies in other places, in markets. If you're buying a one-off facility and you go, well, I think the cap rate's gonna go down from 6.5 to 6.25, so I can pay this money, don't believe in that. Bond rates are moving up, interest rates are moving up. We're seeing just the financing of this stuff isn't getting hard yet, but it's getting more expensive. Which means when it costs more to borrow the money, you're gonna want a bigger return to make your spread. And I think for your independent one-off facilities, your cap rates have probably hit the floor. I don't see them going up, at least not yet, but they're not going down any further. Exceptions being Metro Vancouver, you know, Toronto. If you got something right downtown that's well occupied, you can probably squeeze out a couple percent, you know, point something of a cap rate on it. But if you have something you're trying to sell in Edmonton, Leduc, Calgary, you're probably not going to see lower cap rates than you're seeing today. So from a valuation point of view, how do you guys increase your value? Well, start working on your income. Get your efficiencies up. Get your net higher, because that's what's going to make you your money. So operational efficiencies, make sure you get all your lights switched over. You know, make sure your delinquencies are taken care of. Just run a good business, and that's where you're going to get your growth. And that's, you know, I've had to tell two clients recently, hey, I understand you're buying this for $6 million. I can appraise it at 5.2, I'm sorry. That's all it's worth. And I don't know how you're going to make that spread to the bank, whether you're explaining it that you want to get into the market, so you're paying more, or what have you. Just the values aren't there. And if people keep paying those values, it's going to create a situation where the bottom will fall out of some people's valuations, you'll be underwater, and it's just not going to be great. So if you're looking to buy, please look at the fundamentals of what you're buying. Be reasonable. Don't overpay, because you probably won't be able to recoup that in the short term. I mean, if it's a different conversation if I'm talking to some people standing up here. They can probably make it work. They have efficiencies, they have management, they have all that. They could probably pay more than an independent operator, and the numbers will wash out in the end. But if you own one facility, you're buying a second, just do your due diligence. Please, I don't want to see anyone get in a situation where they owe more in a facility than it's worth, and it's just never pretty when that happens. So that's kind of my spiel on valuation and what we're seeing, especially in the Alberta market. There's some people with facilities who think they're worth a lot more than you can make them look on paper. And at some point, those two will have to meet. And I mean, I know there's a few facilities that have been listed for almost a year that just haven't moved because the valuation is just, it's not there. So if you're gonna look at buying, do your own numbers. If you want just a quick back of the napkin, give us a call. I don't mind picking up the phone and saying, hey, yeah, let me run it through. This is probably what it's worth. Like, make your judgment on that. That's what we're here for. You're an association member. We're a resource for you guys. Please call. You know, I tell Sue that all the time. If people have questions, give us a shout. We don't mind. So that's sort of my spiel on valuation. And the last thing I was kind of asked to touch on was property tax. How many people on facilities had their assessments go up more than they think they should have in the last year? Fair enough. So that's a pretty good number. In BC, we've seen some pretty crazy increases. I'd like to point to one site in Metro Vancouver that was assessed at $21 million in 2015 for 2016, and 2016 for 2017, it was assessed at $45 million. Good luck penciling that into your budget. Luckily, the appeal was successful and they got it whacked back to about 28, but that's still a really big hole that you weren't expecting in your net income. The assessment authorities have kind of figured out that we're a good target. And I know in Saskatchewan, they came for all the major markets last year, and from what I've heard, they're coming for the secondary and tertiary markets this year. Alberta, same thing. They figured out they could make more money off some of the stuff in Calgary and Edmonton, and they went, oh, if it worked there, well, let's work everywhere else then. My advice, appeal your property tax. You know, give it a shot. Now, that's assuming that, you know, you don't have a $1 million assessment on a $10 million building, because you can lose and they can go, actually, it should be more. But if you got a major increase, anything more than a 10% increase in the last year, you should probably appeal it. You know, you can do it yourself. There's people, we do it, other people do it as well. I know someone in Moose Jaw just got a great victory we were chatting about. So property tax being probably one of your two major expenses, if you can keep that in check, or at least keep the increases below what you're increasing your rates, at least you can grow some income out of that. And more importantly, if we all do it together, they may back off. If only one person appeals, it's annoying. 10 people appeal, I gotta do 10 appeals, great. 100 people appeal, okay, let's leave these guys alone, this is too much work for us. You know, the dirty little secret in BC is that the assessment authorities, the assessors, are bonused out on how much their roles increase. They don't tell you that, they won't admit that. So they'll throw anything against the wall and see if it sticks. And if you don't fight it, they won. So just for your sake, fight it. I know all the big guys, they have their own property tax appeal. Like, how many have you guys appealed a lot recently?
We appeal almost everything.
Exactly. And if they're doing it, you guys probably should too, because they have an idea what's going on. You know, and the other thing to look at is how you're breaking out your sort of real estate versus your goodwill and your business. And that's something that you get into with a property tax. You know, for purchase, anyone who's purchased a facility knows you kind of got to break out the physical plant versus what your business is worth. And you can make the argument that, well, the real estate's only worth this, so why are you assessing me on the rest? And that's been fairly successful in BC. Alberta, they're a little stickier on their appeals and they want a lot more information. In BC, they send you this form, they ask you to fill all this information out, and our advice to our clients is to shred it. They've never come back at anyone for not giving them information. Alberta, I've heard a few cases, not in self-storage, but just in general, where they got a little more aggressive on it. So property tax, guys, if we don't get on this now, and I know Sue, we talked about this at the last meeting, we talked about this throughout the prairies, if we get on this as a group, they probably won't keep coming back to the piggy bank. And if they do, at least we can kind of have a group mentality to go fight it. But if we don't, then hey, they found a new wallet to pull money out of and spend on things that we don't need. So that's sort of my spiel. Sue asked me to do a bit of a Q&A. So anything you have on...
two quick questions. The one about Vancouver would went up $40 million, you're saying.
Yeah.
Would that not be an anomaly related to the underlying potential redevelopment opportunities?
That one was an interesting case. So that, what actually happened there, and this is why you need to appeal and get into your assessor, like talk to the assessor, they're there, they got to answer questions. You're a government official, you pay them. So what happened there is Home Depot bought a 10,000 square foot piece of property to expand their garden center, and they paid way too much money for it. And then BC Assessment went, there's our sale. And they, one side of terminal, they took everyone's values through the roof, car dealerships, self-storage, other stuff. And everything got, once they got on the train and figured out what happened, they got it appealed. But if they hadn't appealed it, who's to say they wouldn't have come back the next year too? You know, and a $7 million assessment jump, like, it's still pretty aggressive.
Just one other quick question, and I'll shut up. Evaluations on the cap rates in Alberta, you talked about, there's an anomaly again with the storage hall purchase of Sentinel. Mm-hmm. I think that was Saskatchewan as well.
Nope. Manitoba, Alberta, BC, Ontario, and somewhere out.
Quebec and Nova Scotia.
I presume they paid a premium on the cap rate, lower cap rate, in light of the fact that it was a $400 million deal.
Yeah, that's a tough one to analyze, and because there's facilities in lease up in that as well.
Right.
So do you want to talk about actual or projected? Or so what you have to realize is when someone like that buys something, they have a mechanism to roll it in to a larger entity. So they can pay a lower cap rate because the market values them at a different cap than, say, if you went and bought Sentinel. Let's just say you had $400 million burning a hole in your pocket. Fair, but it would be different than someone who has the structure to put it into an existing entity, right? So now I don't think that Storage Vault overpaid at all for that. I think that it was a very good purchase. But I think they were one of the few people who could make that work too because of the infrastructure and everything they have. I mean,
would it be accurate to say, let's dial it back, let's say there's a portfolio of 50 million to 100 million facilities that would be, but in general, would those types of buyers, institutional buyers, would they be more inclined to pay because of the critical mass?
Yeah, I think any of the large players would like to buy as much occupied storage in one go as they can, and they'd be willing to pay a little bit more. I've seen that in a few portfolio deals I've worked on where, okay, if this was sold independently, each one would be at a 6.5 cap, but they bought six together. So, you know, we're at a 6.25 or a 6 cap because they're able to buy 150,000 feet over six facilities that's already occupied. So there's a bit of a portfolio premium paid for that for sure. Whereas if you sold them all off individually, it'd be a little different.
Is it a quarter point premium or
eight? It really depends where they're located. Because if you said, I have 10 facilities I want to sell on a portfolio, and I go, great, where are they? And you named off 12 cities in Saskatchewan I'd never heard of, and my family's from Saskatchewan, so I know down to 2,000 people in Saskatchewan. That would be a much different conversation than you say, I have five facilities in Vancouver, five facilities in Toronto, and five facilities in Montreal I want to sell you. So it's really area dependent. I would probably say that if you want me to buy the 12 facilities in Saskatchewan, I'm going to want a premium. You're going to lose on that deal. Whereas if it's the other way, and because it's all about risk. I mean, that's what the cap rate is really an expression of, is your risk that you're taking on, right? So, yeah, it's very market dependent. I can't give you sort of it's a quarter point for this always. It's, you know.
Sorry, Patrick. Could you just expand a little bit more, though, on the cap rates as far as the one-off independent sales, just as far as a range is concerned? Understanding there's premiums for like downtown Toronto and,
sure,
and such, but what is the kind of a spectrum?
Is there a province you're kind of interested in, or?
Well, actually just Western Canada, we can.
Okay, so let's go sort of across to, from BC to Saskatchewan.
Patrick, before you get into cap rates, can you just provide some color as to, are you looking trailing, are you looking forward, are you looking stabilized?
Yeah, so we look sort of at a 12 to 24 month previous performance plus, you know, depending on the facility, will stabilize up or not. I've had some stuff in lease up I've recently done where, you know, you have to stabilize it up. You know, I shouldn't value something at 50%. You know, I tell you what it's worth when it's done. So you're looking forward in that case. But usually we're basing it off the previous 2 years. We'll go back further depending. Like in some Alberta stuff recently, I've had to go back five just because it's been such a weird thing. If you take a 24-month snapshot, it doesn't really speak to what that facility is probably capable of. So let's say it's sort of historically based right now. Certain instances, if you're buying something that's either in lease-up or on spec, it's not open yet, yeah, we'll do forward-looking as well. But like I said, I don't think your cap rates are moving much in most markets in the next bit. And if they do, it's not down. mean, as long as money keeps getting more expensive, which, let's be honest, is probably going to, your cap rates will probably move in the upward direction or stay stable. So back to what we're looking at across Canada. So let's start in BC. I'll start at the very edge, Victoria, where I'm from, which, by the way, is pouring rain right now and flooding. So thank you for the sunshine. Appreciate that, guys. Hopefully it'll be gone by the time we get back tomorrow. Victoria is sort of a 625 to 675, depending on what your facility is. I mean, there's some stuff there that I probably would never store my stuff at because either the rats would get it or the bums down the street would get it. So those are probably a little more risky and at the higher end. But then there's some really great facilities that are well occupied, well built, well located, and those are at the bottom end. You know, I could even see a six cap for something in the downtown area. Sort of, and that's for Victoria. We talk about, we say Victoria, but it's really Victoria, which is CRD. So we have 13 municipalities, believe that or not, for 380,000 people. Don't get me started on that. But so we talk about that as one group. You move over the Malahat, which is the road up north. You know, Duncan, you're looking at a 6.5 to 7.25. 6.5, you'd have to make a really good case to me for it. I'd probably not give you that unless you had a real good reason. Go to Nanaimo, sort of around the 6.5, 7. And then the further north you go and the further out you go, the higher it gets. And it's just sort of harder to get to, more work to manage, so want a little bit more return on it. Vancouver, current sales that are apparently done, excluded, because I'm not sure what the cap on that is, but I think it's fairly aggressive. 5.75 to 6. There's some exceptions. There's some horrible facilities in Vancouver that they say self-storage, and I'm not actually sure if they're open. Boards on windows and stuff like that. Different conversation, but well-located, well-occupied. That's sort of what we're looking at. You're going to be sub-6, but you're not going to be 5.5, even though I know some people have tried to convince me of that recently. It's not penciling yet, and I don't think it will. You go to the interior. You know, Kelowna is a different market than the rest of the interior, so Kelowna would be 6.5 to 7. Expanding, one of the fastest growing municipalities in BC, very affluent, lots of growth potential, lots of new building. I think they're increasing their population by 25% in the next 5 years is their plan with building. So, you know, you're an expanding market for storage. Your demand's gonna be great. You'll get a lower cap rate. Done a lot of work in Kamloops recently, and depending if the land is First Nations leasehold or if it's freehold, you're a difference there, but you're 7 to 7.5, 8 if you're kind of on a First Nations short lease. We've seen some stuff in less than 10 years left on the lease, and it's like, well, there's a lot of risk involved in that. Yeah, they say they want to renew it, but you never know if you're going to get a renewal. And then once you move out from those major kind of hubs, it goes up and up and up, and I think your second and a half markets would be 7.5 to 8, and then your smaller tertiary markets would be 8 and above still. And it's a matter of distance and difficulty getting places and the size of the facilities. Everything that's sort of in those tertiary markets is 20,000 feet, 18,000 feet. So it's really difficult to get anywhere with that if you're looking to buy and build on that. Coming into Alberta, done a lot of work in Lethbridge. We're seeing 7, 7.5 caps there right now. Had a good argument with an owner there about wanting something sub-7, and I just wouldn't budge on it because I just don't see it being less than that. The market is limited. It grows very slowly. There's a new big guy in town who's amalgamated stuff and is working on raising rates and all that, but that's not for the other facilities. They're going to trail that. So looking at them, they're going to have a bit more risk when you're dealing with someone who is a very good operator. Sort of coming north, Calgary. If you showed me a really well-occupied, well-located facility in downtown Calgary, I could probably be convinced to give you something with a 5 on the front of it. But it's not going to be a low 5. It's going to be like a 5.8, 5.9. Just sub-6, barely. But that, again, well-occupied, well-located, great operational history. If you're looking for stuff that's less well-occupied and not doing well, you're going to be 6.5. And I think that's kind of where it would stop, that spread. Again, there's some container facilities and stuff like that that would be a higher cap rate just because they're less quality. So everything I'm saying is kind of for your class A or B, second or third generation stuff.
When you say high occupancy, what are you talking about?
I would say like in Calgary, I'd say 80 plus. In other markets, I'd say 85 to 90. But yeah, Calgary is a challenge. I mean, everyone can tell you it's a challenge right now. So if you got something that's 80 plus, which I don't actually know if anyone does, there may be a few, but yeah, you'll get a great cap on it because there's not a lot of work to do. Edmonton, I would be very, very hesitant to put anything with a 5 anywhere in Edmonton. I don't think I'd do it. I think you'd be at best a 6, probably a 6.25 to a 6.75, depending on your location in Edmonton. Are you in the core? Are you on the outskirts? How full are you? How new are you? Just all those little things we talk about. Because Edmonton's just, it's coming back quicker, but it never reaches the highs of Calgary. Also doesn't really get the lows. So take the good with the bad, but it has less upside, but less downside. So you'll pay a less, you know, your risk premium is a little different. Fort McMurray, I know the last sale I saw there was 2014, I think, and it was an 8-something cap. I think that's high, but I would be hard-pressed to give a one-off guy buying something there. You might get a 6.75 out of me, but you're probably going to get a 7. Now, you give that a year, you let the economy rebuild, you let everyone come back, and we could probably have a different conversation about that. But right now, it's still very tenuous and a slow roll forward. So you're gonna have some headaches and some bleeding and some pain. And for that, you're gonna wanna get paid more. That's kinda how it goes, right? Going into Saskatchewan, your Regina, Saskatoon markets are fairly similar. And I know people from there will hate me for saying things like that because they're not the same. I know, I get it, sorry. But your cap rates are 6.5 to 7. 6.5 being a really well located, great operating, you know, all that stuff. And just 7, less so. And then maybe even a 7.25 if you have something on the outskirts that's not great or in need of some upgrades or repairs or what have you. And that applies for sort of your Regina, Saskatoon. Once you go out to your secondary markets, Moose Jaw, Estevan, to a lesser extent, you're probably 7.75, maybe even 8, depending. I think Moose Jaw would be 7.75. And then further out, again, up, as you have to go more and more miles between things, you're going to charge more of a premium on it. Like I was just out in Indian Head, Saskatchewan, doing some work, and you know, it's an hour and 20 minutes from Regina. And I was like, well, what cap rate do you apply to that? It's like, well, then the closest thing is Regina. So if I need anything, I'm an hour and 20 minutes. So yeah, this is going to cost extra money. So things like that, your smaller 10,000, 20,000 square foot facilities, you're probably going to see 8.5 cap on. And that's just, it's because there's no market to roll those into like large portfolios. I don't think Storage Vault would consider buying 10,000 square feet in Indian Head, which you, it just doesn't happen. So your market's a lot smaller for that. And your cost of entry is a little less too. Winnipeg, which is where, like I said, done a lot of work in Manitoba, 6.75 to 7.25. Again, higher for horrible things. I got sent to a really nice facility by one of my good clients where I ended up calling one of them after and asked them why I didn't get a bodyguard. So that was fun. And those you're gonna pay risk premium on, but yeah, 6.75 to 7.25. is sort of Winnipeg, and then after Winnipeg, it goes up really quickly. You're going to be 8 plus outside of the city limits sort of thing, and then probably as you go, as population gets sparser and sparser, even higher. I haven't done much work outside of Winnipeg, honestly. There's just not a lot of demand because the population is very clustered.
Can you speak a little bit, you missed Red Deer, as far as that cap rate, would you comment previously that they're in a bit of trouble just with population? And then my second question was, is the CSSA going to form a task force or a group to maybe mobilize to challenge appraisals as we move forward?
Sort of challenge assessments?
Yeah.
I think something's underway on that. I've talked to Sue at length and a few other people. I know Iqbal's talking about that in Toronto, I think. In terms of Red Deer, like I said, with occupancies, I know there's a lot of facilities that aren't great. Some are doing fairly well, but there's a lot that there's blood in the streets still. And I would say your cap rates would be similar or above Lethbridge. So you're sort of 7 to 7.5. Now, if you're one of those facilities that's 50% occupied and you have no growth showing up, different conversation. You know, if you have forward progress, you know, then it'd be a little different. But that's sort of my thought on that. In terms of property tax, yeah, I think something's ongoing. I've been asked a few times about it and said I'm available, and then nothing came of it. So maybe ask Sue.
Okay. Just on the Winnipeg market, it was interesting, the statistic on 70,000 square feet, or, sorry, 70 sites versus 91 sites. For us, we have a number of facilities in Winnipeg, and Winnipeg kind of seems to chronically disappoint the way Montreal has done for the last 10 years. Montreal's performing a little better now, but Winnipeg seems to be carrying the torch on that. When I talk to different operators in the market, when you look at that population versus Vancouver Island, why is it that the average occupancies in that market are in kind of high 70s to low 80s, when it would suggest that it's significantly undersupplied? Because when I look at it, I think, wow, this market could take more product, but we've got some great product there, as do others, and yet the occupancy seems to hit a ceiling in that, you know, high 70s. You may get over 80 and then it drifts back. Is there any logic or any reason for that?
I think part of it is, if you just look at average incomes, number one, Vancouver Island, if you exclude Victoria, Vancouver Island's probably fairly similar to Winnipeg in income. So then you'd have about 62 facilities compared to Winnipeg's. And it's the type of people too. So Vancouver Island's much more retirement focused and all that. Whereas is Winnipeg, I think you have a more working industrial type thing. I mean, the transportation, the Transcona area is all rail. And I think there's a few places I know in my surveys that do see above 70. I know a few sort of in the southeast that are more like 85, 90. Then I know some in other places that are 60. But you do the demographics on it, and I think it just comes down to your income. But also, in the prairies, there's a lot more land. You have your uncle with a barn somewhere that you can put something. In Vancouver Island, we don't have basements even in most places. So your garage is full until your wife yells at you to clean out the garage because you can't park the car in there, and then you go get a storage locker. So I think that's part of it. And then the other part, Vancouver Island, you look at weather. You know, we rain all the time, but we never get cold, we never get warm. It's kind of cold. Winnipeg, big winter, big summer. So people kind of plan for that, whereas Vancouver Island, we have the same stuff year-round, we just keep accumulating it. Here you got your skidoos, you take them out in the winter, park them. Okay, great. Skidoos are out. Now we put the 4x4s, and they kind of switch places. We keep all that year-round. So we just have more crap.
And then one quick comment to Mike. We don't really have guidance on the portfolio premium stuff in Canada. So what Troy and I talked about is to talk about what they do in the U.S. So they talk about large portfolios an 80 to 110 basis point premium. And a large portfolio in the U.S. would kind of be a $500 million acquisition. So, you know, if you're going from, let's say, if there's three facilities or more, is when you start getting into maybe some portfolio premium territory, and that would start off at, you know, maybe 5% premium, and as you get up to $500 million, you're probably into that 1 percentage point premium, and sometimes a little bit higher. So, I mean, people would look at the Life Self-Storage portfolio and say that might have been 100 to 120 basis point portfolio premium. That was a $1.4 billion acquisition. Is just the guidance that we read and hear down in the U.S.
Any other questions?
I have one more short one.
Sure.
I'm a neophyte to the industry, but I do a lot of reading on the United States and whatnot, and talking about the ratios per square foot, things of that nature, per capita, square foot per capita. And made a comment about the basements. I'm British Columbia and Alberta, and I totally get it. It's called rock in Victoria, for those who don't know. Victoria, you've got rock for the most part.
Or clay, which is even worse.
I don't know if it's worse than Red River Valley. Yeah, Red River Valley clay in Winnipeg. I've seen issues with that too. This Winnipeg. In any event, by the United States, they're generally, especially the southeast, less basements from what I've seen.
Yep. And I mean, to be fair, the U.S. got in trouble with some oversupply in a lot of markets.
Sure.
Like there's some pain in some markets in the U.S. And Canada lags way behind the U.S. on per capita storage right now.
And I agree. And I worked to finance a U-Haul one time, it's a long story. But one thing I noticed is I don't know that you can take that ratio and apply it to Canada because of the different dynamics.
Oh, 100%. It's But it's always good guidance. I mean, we look at the U.S. and, I mean, you have some states, I think last time I looked, Montana had like 12 square feet per capita and 18 people.
That's just, yeah, like, that's for their firearms.
Yeah, well, fair. But so the U.S. definitely isn't an analog for Canada, but it's definitely good to see the trends that are happening there. And I think because we have very few $400 million acquisitions in Canada, I'm sure people would like there to be more, but you have to look to the U.S. for some type of guidance because that's where it's happening. And yeah, nothing translates direct across the border, but at least it's a, we know where to put the dartboard to throw the darts at, rather than just it's kind of thrown in the dark, so. Anyone else? All right, well, thanks everyone.